This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We have a lot of Scandinavian heritage here in Wisconsin. Maybe you've been to the Sitting to My Festival in Stoughton, visited the Trolls of Mount Horeb, or enjoyed traditional foods from the region at restaurants or homemade. Maybe your family eats Norwegian lefse around the holidays even. On this edition of Food Friday, a chef and restaurant owner brings us her experiences baking in Denmark for many years and shares some of her favorite Scandinavian baked goods from her new cookbook. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you traveled in Scandinavian countries? Do you have Scandinavian heritage in your own family? Do you have some favorite baked goods from that tradition? Do you make some of these Scandinavian staples like lefse from Norway, Swedish cinnamon buns, Danish kringle? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Nicole Acetola is chef and owner of Canteen, a Scandinavian-inspired restaurant in San Francisco. Her new cookbook is Scandinavian from Scratch, a love letter to the baking of Denmark, Norway, and Sweden. Nicole, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, Rob.
Well, you've got a personal story of how you got hooked on Scandinavian baking. Share a little bit of that with us, please.
Yeah, you know, it's a story that spans many more years than I had initially thought it would. I started out by going, I had worked as a chef in Boston, trained chef from Culinary Institute of America, started working out in the field, upscale restaurants in Boston, and kind of got burnt out with the whole thing and thought, you know what, a lot of chefs go to Europe. Maybe I should try and train over there and just get a new perspective on things. And to be honest, I would have preferred to have gone to Italy or France, but I knew some people in Denmark. And so I decided to head that way and have crash on their couches and so forth, and fell in love with Scandinavia and that lifestyle there, and didn't want to come back. And so I ended up staying. Eventually, I went back and forth over a number of visits, and I ended up moving over there thinking I'm going to stay for 1 year and get some training and so forth. And I ended up staying for 15 years. So,
and you encountered something that I love the concept of. This was in Copenhagen, the pastry, mm-hmm. the pastry crawl. That sounds like my idea of a
yes.
good time. Tell us what goes on there.
Yeah. So, you know, Noma is a very, very famous restaurant, and there have been teams and armies of people working at Noma in both the pastry, but also the savory kitchen. And, you know, they've kind of gotten roots in Denmark. A lot of people stick around after they no longer worked at Roma anymore. And so, if funny enough, it's really affected the way that you eat in casual restaurants and also bakeries. So there are more fantastic bakeries that, like, they're so concentrated in Copenhagen than any other city I know. San Francisco is also a great baking city, by the way. But so when I have a friend, her name's Paula. And when I am now in Copenhagen, we always make time to go on a pastry crawl. And it's basically, we get up early at the crack of dawn. We much rather do this than a bar crawl. You know, we wake up, we bike around. So we're, you know, getting some motion in there, some exercise in between our stops. But we basically go from place to place. And because we're two, we can share some things and not get too full too fast. But we basically go to the top bakeries in the city and, yeah, sample the best that they have.
All right, now you've got some savory and some sweet stuff. Let's start with sweet and the pastries. And let's key in on one vital spice here, the cardamom. Mm-hmm. Why is this such an important part of our Scandinavian treats?
Yeah, you know, cardamom is magical when it comes to spices. Cardamom is in many other world cuisines, but in particular Sweden, they consume a great amount of cardamom in that country, much more than Norway or Denmark. And, you know, I think when it's done right, when you buy the right ingredients, and by that I mean when you grind fresh cardamom, it is so beautiful. It's kind of citrusy and almost like, it just has, it's not like anything you would ever recognize from the pre-ground variety that you buy in the grocery store.
Yeah. And you have this like middle ground cardamom you talk about. You can buy powdered. Don't get that. You say you can get the whole pod and that's kind of difficult. Mm. What are you recommending we try to find?
Yeah, so you should go for something that is available online if you want. If you are an avid fan of cardamom, I would say go for what's called decorticated cardamom. And it's basically, if you were to take those cardamom pods and smash them lightly or crush them, you could pull out these little black seeds. And those black seeds are what decorticated cardamom is. It's the most flavorful part of the cardamom. And when you grind them fresh right before you're ready to eat it or to put it into your baked good, it is just so much more fragrant and almost eucalyptus and so many more flavor notes and much more complex than what you would get, which is the pre-ground. Who knows when that was ground and put into a jar, right?
It is Food Friday. We're talking to Nicole Isatola about her new cookbook. It's called Scandinavian from Scratch, a love letter to the baking of Denmark, Norway, and Sweden. You could join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@wpr.org. Okay, Nicole, you've shared a few recipes with us. Mm-hmm. I want to check out one that highlights another key ingredient, almonds here. This is semlor, and I guess that's plural.
Yes.
If you have just one, it's a semla. If I have lots, right, and I'll have lots, it's semlor. Tell us a little bit about this dish.
Yeah, so essentially this is a light, fluffy bun that's eaten around Lent time or before Lent starts technically, so you can fatten up before the fast begins. So it has these religious notes, but or roots, but it doesn't, it's not necessarily all, it's not always associated with that. It's just something that you eat around this time of year. And it's tremendously popular in the Swedish community, but we've adopted it in Denmark as well. I think all the best bakeries are all making it right around, you know, January, February. Some bakeries in Sweden, up in Stockholm, they do it year round because it is so popular. But it's a light, fluffy bun that's scented with cardamom. And when it's been baked, you hollow it out almost like a twice baked potato, and you save those innards and you mix it together with almond paste and a little bit of milk. And then you put it back inside. And then you put a nice dollop or a piping of whipped cream on top and put the top back on like a jack-o'-lantern kind of thing. It is so decadent and luxurious. I would also always be referring to it in the plural form.
And I'm looking at the pictures of the semlor now. They look awesome. And also, you mentioned the almond paste, and this is a frequent flyer, right, in the pastries we're talking about.
It sure is, yeah. A lot of times as fillings in different pastries, we have a favorite pastry in Denmark that is very traditional that we also have a recipe for in the book. It's called tebirkes, and it's basically a croissant dough, so very flaky as opposed to the soft fluffy of the semla, but it's a flaky pastry dough with an almond paste center. It's so good.
All right, now let's get savory a little bit here. Mm-hmm. Rye bread, Danish rye bread. You are a huge fan of this stuff. Now, I like rye bread. Talk a little bit about what makes Danish rye bread this distinct and awesome thing.
Yeah, so most people, when they think about rye bread, unless they've grown up in Europe or have a reference to Europe with the dark rye breads type, a lot of people think that it's similar to a Jewish rye, which it is not. It's a completely different animal of its own. And it is it's usually darkened with malt, with the addition of malt. And the one that I make is a sprouted rye bread. So it's a little bit easier on your stomach, a little bit more nutritious. It's not like the old traditional rye bread that you eat in Denmark or you ate in Denmark was kind of like sat heavy in your stomach and was mainly based only on rye flour. This is a lighter version of a modern twist on it where you have these sprouted rye berries in there, the actual rye grains that are sprouted. And then we've got lots of seeds in there. So it's a dark rye type, but it's not heavy in that way. And it's excellent for slicing thinly and then topping with all kinds of toppings, which we call, it's our open face sandwiches that we call smørrebrød.
I was gonna bring that up next, whether we're making our own rye bread or buying it. Like Denmark, I think, is famous for these open-faced sandwiches. I'm going to try smørrebrød. Am I pretty close there?
Okay. Yeah, very good.
And you gave us a recipe for one that looks good to me. Others in my family, I don't think, are going to want to touch it because it has beets and herring, but it is a Russian herring salad with beets and apple smørrebrød. We've got it up with that couple other things at wpr.org/food. Tell us about this combo on this Danish open-faced sandwich.
Yeah, so you know, it's funny. You know, we are a Denmark, Scandinavia, Norway. It is a Northern European influence by a lot of many of the same things that are, of the foods and ingredients that are you'll find in Eastern Europe, in Finland, and so forth. So there is, and also some Russian influences as well. And so this is for sure something that's been influenced from Russia. That where there's a beet and apple. A salad that's mayonnaise. There's some mayonnaise. There's some crunchy. There's some pickle slices in there. There's capers, some sour cream, and so it's a nice creamy dressing that you put on top of a nice slice of this of the rye bread. And you can put the herring in there as we did in the book, but in case your relatives maybe wouldn't go for it, you can also put in some potatoes, some boiled potatoes, dice them up, and just leave out the herring. It's delicious.
Let's bring on a caller at 800-642-1234. Caro is with us in Madison. Caro, hi.
Hi.
What did you want to tell us
about?
Hi,
Caro.
Hi. Well, I just want to say I grew up in northern Michigan with my Scandinavian ancestors. I grew up in a Swedish church, and just all the great food that we made there, especially the bakers, the women that would bake Swedish coffee bread. My grandmother
yes.
used to make this Swedish limpa bread.
Mm-hmm.
When it would be hot out of the oven, we'd smear butter on it, and it was so good.
Yeah.
And
it's a slightly sweet bread, correct?
Yes. It's like mm-hmm. a sweet rye bread.
Mm-hmm.
And one of our Christmas traditions to this day is having Swedish potato sausage on Christmas Eve.
Caro, thanks so much for sharing that with us. Now, let's talk about what would make a Swedish or any of the countries you're talking about a coffee cake distinctively Scandinavian.
Well, you know, I mean, so we make something that's similar to a coffee cake here, and we have as our default spice cardamom because it lends itself so well to fruits and so forth. The Scandinavian countries are also big on dairy, so there's got to be lots of good butter. We have also some sour cream or yogurt in there. You know, just like some richness where it's not so much about the size of the chunk that you're going to be eating because it will be rich, but it is full of flavor and moist.
Thanks again for that call. We are talking to Nicole Isatola, chef and owner of Canteen, a Scandinavian-inspired restaurant in San Francisco. It's Food Friday. We're talking about her new cookbook. It's called Scandinavian from Scratch, a love letter to the baking of Denmark, Norway, and Sweden. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have a favorite sweet treat from Scandinavia? Do you love the Danish rye bread? We talking about your family, maybe something you grew up with here. Is there something you still like to make yourself? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our Food Friday conversation with Chef Nicole Isatola about her new book, Scandinavian from Scratch, which offers recipes and techniques for delicious baked goods, many sweets, some savory from Denmark, Sweden, and Norway. You could join in at 800-642-1234. What foods and flavors make you think of those Scandinavian countries? Do you have a favorite baked good from Norway, Sweden, or Denmark? Did you grow up with these baked goods? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can find a few recipes that Nicole shared with us at WPR.org/food. Let's go back to your calls now. Kay is with us in Madison. Kay, hello.
Hi, how are you doing? I'm so glad to have this show because this is a question right on my mind these days. I'm 70% Scandinavian, Danish, but mostly Swedish. And besides lingonberries and herring and sour cream, which even as a four-year-old, I was insane about. And actually, a very good thing with it is sautéed apples and onions. But is there something I could make as like a holiday thing for myself, like the summer solstice or something?
Kay, thanks a lot for the call. Nicole, can you help Kay embrace her culinary roots a little more? Nicole, are you there? Not hearing.
Sorry.
Oh, there
sorry.
You are. Great. Okay.
Sorry, but yeah, was that for the summer solstice or the winter solstice?
She mentioned summer, so how about a nice light summer something for Kay? Yeah.
Yeah. So in along the sweet notes, I would say we have a wonderful cake. It's actually, when people ask me, what's your favorite recipe out of the book? It's called the Royal Party Cake. And it's great because it's extremely versatile. It's basically a cake that two thin layers of, you take a cake batter, you spread it into two small cake pans. On top of that, before it's baked, you put on meringue. You bake both pans at the same time. And when you take that out, you can layer it up with some whipped cream on each layer, then put the one layer on top of the other, and with some fresh fruit like piled in between there. So it's really beautiful when summer is at its peak and you have all kinds of fresh berries, especially, as was mentioned, red lingonberries, fresh red currants, you know, strawberries, raspberries, anything. It's amazing. In the summertime, it's a no-brainer. In the wintertime, you can mix it up with some stewed fruit or something like that. But
okay, thanks a lot for the call. Hope that helps. We'll go to Gary now in Johnson Creek. Gary, hi.
Hi. Years ago, I had a lefse that was made with cottage cheese. And I wonder if you have ever heard of a recipe containing cottage cheese.
No, that's a new one for me, Gary. We have potato-based ones and flour-based ones, but no, I've never heard of cottage cheese. I'm going to have to check that out.
Thanks a lot for the call, Gary. I hadn't heard of that either. That reminds me, we don't have this up, but one thing that struck me, you got some pancakes there with rye. Okay, that sounds pretty cool. And a secret ingredient of beer in our pancakes.
Yeah.
How'd that beer get in there?
Well, it probably was an accident, maybe sometime in the kitchen, but it works out. You know, they say that, you know, a meal can be very satisfying if it meets, you know, all of the different senses and the taste, you know, with sweet and salty and bitter and umami and so forth. And that sourness that comes from the beer matches so well with the sweetness that you're bound to put on it, whether it be berries or some sugar, cinnamon sugar, or cardamom sugar and so forth. So it's really good. More than what you might assume.
Let's go back to our callers at 800-642-1234. Jan is with us now in Milwaukee. Jan, hi.
Hi, I'm Danish. My father grew up in Denmark. My grandmother was more Norwegian, but lefse was always a big thing. And I just started listening. I'm sure lefse has probably been mentioned. But another thing my grandma made, which is probably very unhealthy, I think she called them rosettes.
Oh, yeah.
And I think it was pretty much what we call funnel cakes over here, deep fried.
Yeah, the fried ones. Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Yeah, yeah.
Go ahead, Jan.
To this day, my aunt still gets together with her daughter, my cousin, and they kind of make a party of it. She runs the show because she knows how to make the lefse.
Thanks.
Every year they have a lefse party.
Love it. Thanks so much for sharing that, Jen. Now, that reminds me, you wrote in the book, Nicole, that part of why you wanted to start a restaurant in San Francisco was there were people like you and other people familiar with Scandinavian food, and it was a Scandinavian bakery desert in San Francisco. Talk about that a little.
Yeah, it really was. There was nobody else doing Scandinavia. You would think that, you know, a lot of attention had come to Scandinavia for Noma and so forth, but that's on an upscale level. And I just kind of missed those staples that I was used to having while living in Scandinavia. So I figured, you know, hey, you know, I started baking rye bread one loaf at a time and kind of perfecting my own recipe for at home, and then saw that there was a need among Scandinavians and also some people, you know, that some Germans and so forth of large population. You know, a lot of Scandinavians moved to San Francisco, among other places like Wisconsin. And so, you know, we're meeting a need here.
Thanks again for that call. It's Food Friday. We're talking to Nicole Acetola, chef and owner of the restaurant Canteen in San Francisco. Her new cookbook is called Scandinavian from Scratch, a love letter to the baking of Denmark, Norway, and Sweden. I love waffles. You've got some Scandinavian waffles. They're different than, say, your Belgian-type waffle. There's some special gear that we could get to make them just right. Tell us a little bit about the waffles you work with.
Yeah, so as you mentioned, there's a lot of people are familiar with Belgian waffles, and those are usually quite thick, and they have deep crevices for topping and putting whipped cream and so forth on. These Scandinavian waffles are different. They are usually very, very thin. And traditionally, most people have a waffle iron at home, whether it be electric or something for the range. But if they're, it's usually in the pattern of some hearts that are joined. The bases of the hearts are joined to create a kind of star of hearts. In this particular recipe, I use kefir, which is like a yogurt-based drink or ingredient. It gives a nice little sourness to the dough, similar to the sourness that comes from the beer in the pancakes. And then you can top it with either savory or sweet as you like. I like to have it sweet, but you can definitely put, you know, a piece of smoked fish on there or something like that. Then I would probably omit the cardamom that's in this recipe as well. But just a good smear of some good jam and a little bit of whipped cream or powdered sugar is really, really delicious. I buy my iron, my waffle iron online. And yeah, it works out really well. They're nice and crispy. Mm-hmm.
And Nicole, my brother lives in San Francisco. He hasn't been to your restaurant yet. He may swing by after work today.
Send him over.
Yeah, if there was one pastry that's like, this is the one you got to try. This is like the A1, number one thing that people are going to love here. What should he or whoever try picking up?
One pastry.
Just one.
Well,
he can only eat so much.
So I would say probably, I know some just came out of the oven. Now we're going to be closing here shortly. So he better rush over here. We have some cardamom morning buns. Again, that same flaky Danish dough that is very, is just king in Scandinavian bakeries. It's similar to the croissant dough, nice and flaky. We smear it with some of those, that freshly ground decorticated cardamom seeds and some butter and roll it up like a cinnamon knot. You would do an American cinnamon bun. And then we slice it and put it in a muffin pan and let it puff up and then into the oven with it. And so it has a caramelized base, but then nice and airy and fluffy on the inside. It is to die for.
Nicole, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
Thank you so much, Rob. It's been so much fun.
That's Nicole Acetola, chef and owner of Canteen, a Scandinavian-inspired restaurant in San Francisco. She was with us on Food Friday to share recipes from her new cookbook. It's called Scandinavian from Scratch, a love letter to the baking of Denmark, Norway, and Sweden. You can find a few recipes that Nicole shared with us at WPR.org/food. That's WPR.org/food. A pastry, a coconut cake that we didn't even really talk about, and then an open-faced rye bread sandwich. I'm Rob Ferret. Stick around. There's more to come on Central Time. You're listening to the Ideas Network.